Heavenly Father, it's a mighty and wonderful privilege that we have to be able to gather before your throne as saved and forgiven in Christ, that we can open your word freely, knowing and expecting that you are speaking to us by your word through your spirit. We ask that you'd do that work in us today, that you'd be pointing us and reminding us of who you are and what you've done for us in Jesus, and reminding us afresh of how you want us to live as your people forgiven in Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the new year brings new habits. We have a new habit for our Sunday service, but I've just started a new personal habit too. My resolution, or whatever you call it, is to get at least one lot of exercise in every day for this year. Whether it be a video workout, so I started doing 10, 15 minute video workouts every morning, walking in the park, doing some sport, or going to the gym. I started a new gym this week too. So far, I've started pretty well. Over the last month and a bit, I've only missed 3 days of exercise. It's pretty good. But I think the age-old question is, will I keep going? Will I continue well? Or will I, like we usually do with other things, get distracted, lose focus, and give up? And I think this is how we meet the Colossian believers here in Paul's letter to them. They've started well in Jesus. They're new believers in a new church, about less than 10 years old. This church had been planted by Epaphras, who came over from Ephesus to Colossae, and they were in danger, this church, these Christians, of not continuing well. You see, there were teachings and influences. We don't know what exactly they were, but they were pulling them away from Jesus. They were telling these believers, you need more than Jesus. You need something other than Jesus. Jesus is not enough. And they were being distracted. They were starting to lose focus. And they were in danger of giving up on Jesus. So Paul, he's in prison. It's around AD 62, and he's writing to remind them, Jesus is enough. And as we look at the introduction today, the first 14 verses, we're going to get kind of like a summary picture of the letter. We see here that Paul greets them, you and me, we're family in Jesus. Then he goes to give thanks for them. You've got it all in Jesus. And then Paul, he prays for them. Continue in Jesus, walk in him. That's a good summary of what we're going to see in the next 7-8 weeks in this letter. And I think it's a good summary of the Christian life too. Because you see, being a Christian, following Jesus, discipleship, living for Jesus, whatever you want to call it, while it is profound, rich, extraordinary, wondrous, and an awe-filling life, in another sense, following Jesus is not rocket science. There's no secret mystery involved. It's not a complex math problem to solve. It really boils down to the simple question, you're saved in Jesus and you continue in Jesus. And that's what we're going to see over and over and over again in Colossians. And really, I think in all of the Bible, you start with Jesus and you continue in Jesus. So if you've got your Bibles, have a look at verse 1. Even as we start here, it's this pretty standard greeting that you get in a letter. But I think Paul's already pushing them to the point he's making. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful believers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. The author is Paul, he's an apostle, and he's an apostle of Christ Jesus. Timothy's with him, and the recipient it's the saints and brothers at Colossae, and they're described as the ones in Christ. And the greetings is from God, who's their common Father. You see, in a letter, especially in the first century, every word and every phrase matters. It's not like just texting someone like today. And here you can see the emphasis. There's family words, brothers, father, and there's repetition in Christ, in Christ. You see, Paul, he's trying to say already that Paul and these Colossian believers, they're united. They share in common stuff. They're family. And the family connection, it's Jesus. Their commonality is Jesus. Jesus brings them together. And their connection is the closest of closest earthly bonds. It's family. And that's the same with us today. Our commonality is Jesus. You see, Jesus makes us so connected that we're family. If you think for a moment about your mum and dad, your brothers and sisters, your spouse if you're married, and your kids if you have kids, you might be close, distant, enjoy them or get frustrated at them, but they're family. And you love them, you're committed to them, and you're bonded with them. Then think you and me, the guys beside you, in front of you, behind you. We are this family in Jesus. We're part together of God's forever family in Christ. So be encouraged as we gather today. You're with family in Jesus. And speaking of families, we keep going. One of the privileges I have is to have a very common surname, Tan. There were three Tans in my class once. And whenever there's another Tan somewhere we're in, or whether it's Bible college or in church circles and friends, we always get asked if we're related. You see, Tans come from Malaysia, Singapore, Taiwan, and the southern regions of China. And then it gets even more complicated because Tans, Chan, Chen, they're actually all the same Chinese family name. So Tans, Chans, Chens from all over the world, we're all connected somehow. We're probably from the same house or family back somewhere then. And as we come to Colossians, what Paul has implied in verse 1 and 2, I think he makes explicit in verses 3 to 8. How are we family? Why are we connected? What is this in Christ business? Well, Paul answers this as we keep moving. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you've heard before in the word of truth, the gospel. You see, our connectedness, it's in Jesus. It's in trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus, who's secured us a certain hope of life forever. You see, our connectedness today is not through common interests, common friendships, common social lives, common personalities, or even common preferences of church. It's through a common faith, a common truth, a common good news, a common gospel found in the saving work of Jesus. And the Colossians here, they needed to be reminded of this, and we need reminding of this too. Whether it's because of false teaching swaying you today, or the world tempting you, idols of the heart pulling you, difficult relationships consuming you, sin seducing you, seasons of life draining you, the grind of life weighing on you. Give thanks for God's work in you, in us, through saving us and giving us hope of eternal life in Jesus. And this is what exactly Paul does here. He points out three basic identifiers of Christianity: their faith in Jesus, that the Colossians rest on Christ for salvation, not their own works, but by grace through faith in Jesus; their love for others, an overflow of that faith; an active response to being saved is love for others. And all this is based on that future hope they have, that certain future of being secure in heaven with God forever. And Paul, he gives thanks. He gives thanks because this work of God saving us in Jesus, it deserves our thanksgiving. And it deserves our thanksgiving always. And you'll find that giving thanks for the gospel's work, it focuses us more on Jesus and less on us. It's what we need. It helps you to wake up to false teaching, to see that you're drifting, to get through the tough season in life, not to look inside, but to look and focus on Jesus and give thanks to him. And the gospel, the good news of life in Jesus, it's what also connects all believers together as family, to God and to one another. Paul keeps going in verse 6, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. You see, the good news of Jesus wasn't just at work in the Colossians or in Ephesus. It's at work in the whole world. Paul's referring to Rome, Athens, Asia Minor, Jerusalem, and beyond. People finding life in Jesus in all corners of the world. The same gospel that was working in the Colossians. You see, Epaphras came over from Ephesus proclaiming that same Christ, that same gospel, and the Colossians believed, joining this global network fellowship of believers. And that ought to bring us to praise and give thanks to God. And it's the same for us today. You see, that same good news of Jesus that's working in your life, the same good news that we're proclaiming today, it's the same gospel that's being proclaimed all over the world. It's the same Jesus that people are finding life in. It's the same gospel that Steph is going to Austria to proclaim, that missionaries in Central Africa are declaring, and that Christians are trying to smuggle into North Korea so people might know Jesus. It's amazing, isn't it, that you could walk into any Bible-believing church gathering, whether it's in Singapore, Sydney, Seattle, Shanghai, Sao Paulo, or Stockholm. You think you'd be far away from home, but I think you'd be instantly connected with a common gospel, a common Christ, and a common saving faith. And I think that should blow our minds. It should drive us to give thanks to God that this powerful, life-changing gospel that's working in your heart and your life, that God is advancing through all the world, all through history. And we get to be part of it. You get to receive Jesus. You get to be connected into this whole network of God's family. You get to be caught up in God's grand plan of world history salvation. Who am I? Who are we? That God would graciously delight to work in me, in us. Never forget to give thanks to God for new life, for that good news of life in Jesus coming to you and to the world. Well, as we keep going, it's easy to stick to something when it's easy, but the rubber really hits the road when it's hard. Like with my exercise habit that I just started, it's easy when the motivation is high, when it's not too busy, when I'm not tired, when the weight is dropping and I can see it, when the body is feeling good. But what happens when times get tough, when the days get busy, when Jacob keeps us up at night, when the body hurts, when the weight plateaus or even grows instead of going down? What do we do when things get hard? We skip, we stop, we give up, and we try something else instead, don't we? And times were getting hard here for the Colossians. Like we said, we don't have all the details, but false teachers were making life hard. They wanted the believers to change on Jesus, to give up on Jesus, to try something else other than Jesus. And Paul's already highlighted here, your family in Jesus. Jesus connects you. Jesus and the good news of the gospel is the saving truth, and you've got him. So now Paul, he moves from thanksgiving to concern in verse 9. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. You see, like a friendly park runner cheering you on to keep going, Paul, he reaches out to these Colossians and says, you've got Jesus, keep going, keep walking, keep running. And his prayer, his ceaseless prayer, and that means constant, fervent, concerted, and concerned, is to be filled with God's will and wisdom and understanding. He's really praying that they'd grow and be filled with God to be like Jesus, so that they can walk, like it says here, in a manner worthy of Jesus and pleasing to Jesus. You see, this is Paul's heart for the Colossian believers. They're doing it tough amidst false teaching. Yet Paul, he calls them to keep going, to keep walking in the same direction, not to stop, not to skip, not to try something else, but to keep living, to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus, our Lord and King. And the next part shows what this looks like. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. For all endurance and patience with joy. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. You see, walking and pleasing Jesus, our King, it looks like bearing fruit, spiritual growth, depending on God's strength, patiently enduring with joy, and giving thanks to God. And Paul's concern for the Colossians, and in fact, for all of us, is to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus. It's not just a Colossians-specific command either. Philippians 1:27, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called. 1 Thessalonians 2:12, walk in a manner worthy of God. 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. And that same calling that Paul gives, that God gives, is the same high calling that God gives to us, his believers today. It's a privileged calling. We get to walk like Jesus. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Yet it's a high calling because my bar is Jesus. My example is Jesus. The mold that I'm wanting to walk in and grow in, it's Jesus. You see, the world tells us to walk in a manner worthy of ourselves. You do you, live out your dreams, pursue the longings of your heart. And even Christians, I think we can fall into this trap too. I need to be true to the way God made me. I need to fulfill the wirings God has given me and the gifts that God has bestowed on me. It's subtle, but if you listen to it, it's still about me. Paul says here, walk in a manner worthy of Jesus, pleasing to him. You see, the goal isn't to be the best Josh or the best Spence or the best Mary. The goal is Christ-likeness. The longing is Jesus. The heart is Christ's heart. The one we're pleasing is not me, but Jesus. Walk in a manner worthy of him. You might ask, why Jesus? Why not walk in a manner worthy of myself or to please myself? Why do anything, in fact? Well, Paul, he reminds the Colossians and us of what's changed, of our new spiritual reality in verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You see, something drastic has happened. We were once caught up and dead in our sins, but we're not dead in sin anymore. We're not in that hopeless abyss. We're not under Satan's sinful, God-rejecting, self-glorifying domain anymore. God, he's delivered us from that to the kingdom of his Son, Jesus. It's not because we did anything. We were saved by God's undeserved grace, redeemed to righteousness, and that was worked on the cross where sin was defeated, forgiveness is secured, and new life is won. And if you're in Jesus today, this is your new reality. This is the kingdom that you're living in. And this is why we're called to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus, who's the King and Lord and Master of this kingdom. He's our Lord. He's our King. We're part of his kingdom. He's the one we serve, not ourselves, like in our own old domain. So we've seen in this introduction of Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul, he greets them. He says, you and me, we're family in Jesus. And Paul, he goes on to give thanks for them. You've got it all in Jesus. And Paul, as we've just seen, he prays for them. He wants them to continue in Jesus, to walk in him. It's a bit of a weird passage to apply since it's essentially Paul praying for the Colossians. But I think there's a take home here for ourselves and for how we see each other. And the first way we can apply it is for ourselves. And I think there's two parts in it. Firstly, God's word calls us to give thanks to God for Jesus, for his work in the world, and for his work in you. For Jesus and his good news of life that moves us from the domain of darkness to the kingdom of his Son, that secures sins forgiven, that brings us certain hope, that connects us to God's forever family, to praise God, to give thanks for all of this work in your life. If you think about it, we praise God for many things. For daily blessings, for good health, for the sun shining, for family, even for things like finding a car park at the shops. But remember to praise God, to give thanks to God first and foremost, and always, for being saved by grace from death to life in Jesus. Thank God for his salvation day by day. It seems pretty basic, but I think it's so easy to forget to thank God for his goodness to us in Jesus. It's so easy to take the gospel for granted. It's so easy to skim over the main thing, life won in Jesus, and to get distracted by little things that are important, but a little compared to our salvation and eternity. Second thing for ourselves is that God's word calls us to be concerned about walking in a manner worthy of Jesus. You see, it's Paul's ceaseless, constant, concerted prayer for the Colossians, and it's repeated in Scripture so much that it's clear that God wants us to be doing, not to be saved, but because we've been saved. You see, God's calling you to stick with Jesus, to keep walking with Jesus day by day, to keep growing in his Son, even when it's tough, even when there's opposition, even when it seems mundane and boring. You see, walking with Jesus, it might look different in different seasons, in different times, but it's a reality of a person of Jesus, a person who's in his kingdom, of someone who's part of his kingdom, aligning with Jesus, walking with Jesus, striving to please Jesus. And I think we all know that walking with Jesus isn't a walk in the park. It's walking in a different direction to the world. It's walking into opposition and conflict at times. It's walking against the grain of our own selfish hearts and desires. And that's why Paul has to ceaselessly, constantly pray to this end. So it's something that we need to ask for God's help in, because we can't do it on our own. And God, he graciously helps us in this too. He gives us his Holy Spirit, who's our helper, whose primary role is to help us to keep going with Jesus. You see, God wants us to be concerned about walking in a manner worthy of Jesus. How might you grow your concern for this? How might you reflect on your walk? And in light of God's goodness to you and Jesus, walking and measuring your walk according to a manner worthy of Jesus. Is Jesus worthy? Is he pleased in how you walk and live for him today? And what might need to change so your walk aligns with Jesus and makes much of Jesus? So your walk pleases Jesus the King. We've applied this passage to ourselves, but we can also apply this in how we see others too. You see, it affects how you pray for others. It reminds you to give thanks for Jesus and his saving work in those around you, and to pray with concern that your family will walk, that your church family will walk in a manner worthy of Jesus. And I think in God's sovereignty, as we pray for others in this way, God, he grows our love and our burdens for others. That affects how we see others. You see, as we give thanks for God's work in others, these people, they move from strangers to friends, and then they move to who we truly are, family in Jesus. Love grows, concern grows as we pray for others, giving thanks and wanting them to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus. And as concern grows, these people, these others around you, we move from loosely connected to socially connected people, and then we move to what I call a spiritually burdened family, brothers and sisters in Jesus. And like Paul, your burden and your desire grows as family into loving your family so much that you'd want them to continue with Jesus, that you'll pray for them to this end. And that prayer would even overflow to even be part of spurring them on in walking in a manner worthy of Jesus. Let me ask you this morning, is that your burden and your desire for others in our church family? For them to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus. Is that your first and primary desire for Dave, for Doug, for Linda, for Jess, for everyone in your spiritual family here? Because if it is, you'll get to know them. You'll treat them like family because we are family. You'll pray for them. You'll spur them on, supporting them, encouraging them, even challenging them with a hard word when needed. And as we see each other, your greatest desire for them is to walk well with Jesus, to hold on to the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of life in Jesus, and for them not just to hold on to it, but to keep walking with it, with Jesus, in a manner pleasing to Him. So as you talk to someone at morning tea, through the week, as you pray for them, as you think about them, as you converse with them, I think God wants us to grow a mind. My concern for him or her is to walk in a manner worthy of Jesus, pleasing to him. As we finish our time in God's word, let's reflect on the words of the song that we'll soon sing. There is one gospel to which I cling, or else I count as loss. For there where justice and mercy meet, he saved me on the cross. No more I boast in what I can bring, no more I carry the weight of sin. For he has brought me from death to life. I stand in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, we really do have it all in Jesus. In the good news of life in Jesus, the one true gospel. Jesus died and lived, and instead of death, we might have life as we trust in Jesus, as we hold on to Jesus, as we cling to and continue in Jesus. And as we finish, let me encourage you to look around for a second. We're all family in Jesus. Let's give thanks for Jesus and his saving work. And let's grow a concern that we'll all continue with Jesus, standing firm, walking faithfully, living in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray to this end. God, our Father, we thank you for Jesus, in whom we have life, redemption, and forgiveness of sins. Help us to never take your grace, your good gospel, your saving work for granted. And give us strength by your Spirit to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord of our salvation, King Jesus, living fully pleasing to him. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.